Turn in your Bible, I think, to turn to James chapter 5. You know, Wednesday nights, I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all come here for a little bit of something out of the Bible to be fed during the week. We come here, a big part of the Wednesday night is coming here for prayer. We pray for those missionaries. We've got, by the way, brand new cards tonight morning put together. We pray for their needs and for things that they don't put on the cards, encouragement and those kind of things. We lift up and we ask for prayer requests after the little bit of preaching we get, and everybody puts their prayer requests down, and some bring some for others. I've got some that were called in tonight, and we put those things, and tonight, you know, is normally called our prayer meeting, is what it is. So the Lord, when I was reading my Bible today, put this, He always prepares the messenger before the message gets prepared. So He put this verse in my head, I guess, in my heart, and it's James chapter 5, verse 16. We call it B, the last part of the verse. It's that little part that says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so tonight, just for a little while, I want to explore this, one part of this, effectual. But first we'll get the Lord involved in this. Father, I just, I thank you that the welders are doing so well there in Ohio, Lord. I've been there many times myself, and I know it's a good time for them to fellowship with their friends and to meet new people in the ministry, just a time to relax and refresh. And I pray that you'll continue to let them have that. I know Pastor was teaching a session, at least one, and I pray that and know that, Lord, those men will be blessed by the things that we get all the time here and we sometimes take for granted. I pray that you'd continue to bless that trip and help them get back safely. Help us hold the fort down while they're gone, Lord, and take care of the things that are here. Tonight we bring before this word, Lord, this little bit of time to preach and look in your Bible. And Father, you know what you laid on my heart. You know me, and you know if you don't get me out of the way, not going to be much that's worth keeping in this thing. So I pray that you'll get me out of the way, and that you let your word speak for itself, and let your Holy Spirit be the only Spirit that has any effect in this building. And tonight, Lord, help us all see how we could be more effectual in our prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. No, effectual means, the word means, if something's effectual, it has adequate power or force to produce the intended effect. Duh. Okay? So effectual prayer would mean that, have you ever just, I know you have. We do it all the time. We throw some prayer together and chunk it up at God, and we hope it makes it through the ceiling, you know. And a lot of times it doesn't. It's not very effectual. And a lot of you, you know, we have what we call some prayer warriors in this church. And a lot of you know, if I've got something and I need to get a hold of God, I'm gonna text or call so-and-so and get them to start praying about this. And we all have our little list of folks that we really appreciate the fact that they pray. And what you don't think about is you call them and text them and ask them to pray for you because it seems like the prayer is more effectual. It gets something done. God hears it. And so tonight I want to look at some things about effectual prayer. And you know, there's tons of stuff to look at, but isn't it your desire, and it should be, when you pray to the Lord, that you know that the Lord hears you and that the Lord understands what you want and that He's going to do something about it. Would anybody want to get all of that they can get? Sure. Turn to, and we're going to look at a ton of scripture because I guarantee you the Word of God preaches a lot better than I do. So turn to 1 John chapter 5. Back up toward Revelation there. 1 John chapter 5, you know, our heart's desire is to make our petitions known and heard by God. And 1 John chapter 5, let's look in verse 11. Got some good stuff here. The Bible says, and this is the record that God has given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it? That's verse 12, it doesn't get any simpler than this. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, that is just, if there's any truths in the Bible, it's compiled in those verses right there. And right in the same context, look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Our confidence is in Jesus Christ and what He does for us, that eternal life, that life that we have. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what? He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. I'll admit to you, I don't take as much joy in that as I should. A lot of times we pray if you haven't already, you will hopefully pray over your meal you're going to eat tonight. And it's more of a formality than it is truly just a sincere prayer to God to actually ask Him to bless what you're doing there. And we, Bible-believing Baptists, hard-headed King James, you know how we are. But we get where prayer is just kind of like something you go through the motions. And it shouldn't be. You've got God that hears what you're saying. And He's listening for what you say. And when you get through, you can be assured, just as sure that the life is in His Son, and that these things have I written that you may know you have eternal. It's just as sure of the rest of us that He hears what you're saying. And so there's something to be said about effectual prayer and the joy in knowing that if you actually speak and ask God something, He hears you. Okay? That's something that's worth seeing if we can do it the best we can and see if we can get the most out of it. It says here, if we know that He hears us, whatsoever asks, we know that we have petitions that we desire Him. So there's one hand that if it's in God's will, He'll hear us. Turn to Psalm 66, 18. The psalmist here, it's in Psalm 66, we'll start in verse 16. Psalm 66, 16. The psalmist says this in 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. This psalmist is going to tell you, if you fear God, come here, I want to tell you something about my God. Verse 17. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. Extolled simply means magnified or praised. So he's saying, you know what? I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was praised or magnified with my tongue. So this guy knows a little bit about how to praise God and how to get a hold of God. Look in verse 18. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer nor His mercy from me. So, you know, what this is telling us is, you know, there are ways that you can pray and know that God is going to hear your prayer and act on it. And then there's other things that hinder this prayer, and you can be guaranteed that He is not going to hear it. Ugh. And one that's mentioned right here is iniquity. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so sometimes we come to the Lord and we forget some of the conditions of prayer, and prayer is conditional. And this lesson is not about conditional prayer, but just to mention a few things, go to John chapter 14, mainly because there's one point there and I have all the rest of the points in the column of notes here. about things about that are conditional about prayer. And my goal is to have my prayer as effectual as I can have it. And I know that's what your goal is, and it's not a hard thing to do as we look at this. But we need to understand that there are conditions to prayer. John chapter 14, verse 14. It's a simple verse. If we shall ask anything in, Jesus is talking here, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You know, the first condition in conditional prayer is, you gotta ask it in the Lord's name. You know, when I go to God, I have no authority, I have no righteousness. My righteousness is in Jesus Christ. And my access to God is through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, when we pray, when I prayed before this service, I was praying to God. You see, we're blessed. The Bible says we don't have to pray to a saint. We don't have to pray to Mary. We don't have to have any intercessors. We go straight to the throne of grace. Okay, and we can go there boldly. But we go there in Jesus' name. Okay, that's the only way they let me in the house, is I get there through Jesus. So that's a condition. Other conditionals is you got to pray in God's will, and you got to be obeying the laws, and you got to be in good fellowship with your wife. You know, there's some restrictions there, and we read about iniquity, and then there's sin can keep you from having God hear your prayers, and then you can pray amiss. You can pray wanting it after your own lust. So there's a lot of things the Bible tells us about the conditions of prayer, but like I said, the lesson is not on that. The lesson tonight is going to be more about, we're going to look at two areas that God put on my heart that either you're going to need to learn about tonight or you're going to need to be reminded about tonight so that you can truly leave here tonight, or maybe we're going to pray after the service. Maybe we can start tonight on some more effectual prayer for these missionaries, an effectual prayer for these prayer requests we're going to take up. So let's look at the first thing I wanted to look at tonight in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, starting in about verse 9, Paul is opening this letter to Philippi, and he says in verse 9, "And this I pray." So this is what he's been praying or continues to pray for the church in Philippi. He says, "I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." That's good. Verse 10, "that ye may approve things that are excellent." That's good. Look at this next thing. "That ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ." You know, I think one thing that could improve, I know it'll improve mine. And I know that it'll improve your prayer life and make your prayer more effectual, is your sincerity. And sincerity, when you look it up, there's some of y'all in here that actually remember when there was not an internet. Okay? And you also remember when there was not cell phones. And I mean not even the big bag phones. Okay? There was actually a time where that if you wanted to communicate with someone else, you wrote them a letter. There's a few of you that understand that. And when you got to the bottom of the letter, you would, a lot of times the salutation would be, "Sincerely yours," and you'd sign your name. I used to write some business letters, and even if it was a nasty letter to somebody demanding payment or something, I would still put at the bottom, "Sincerely yours." Okay? Because that's what you put at the bottom of a letter. You know, sincerely. But I never did think about, what is it to be sincere. And so, today, years later, I look it up. And it says, "free from hypocrisy, disguise, or false pretense." Wow. Did I put the wrong salutation on those letters? And I think, I'm pretty sure that when we go to God, we're not always sincere, honest, truthful. We go to God, let me show you something. Turn to Psalm 139. And I want you to think about something. We've got a God that knows your heart. God looketh on the men looketh on the outside, and God looketh on the heart. And so, you know, that verse in James that we started out with, you're in Psalm 139, we'll get there in a second. The verse we started out with said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Availeth means to get something done, to get something accomplished. And so this effectual prayer gets something accomplished, but we've got a God that knows our heart. And we don't always take that, we don't always remember that, acknowledge that when we bow our head and go to prayer. Okay? So sometimes we're not really sincere as we should be. In Psalm 139, verse 23, David wrote this psalm. It's a psalm of David. And he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, you've got, and I've got, a God that before I come to Him in prayer, He already knows my heart. He already knows what I need. And when I come to Him like that, don't you think that it would be to an advantage if I wanted my prayer to be effectual, to be sincere with Him? You know, it's almost like putting lipstick on a pig and then trying to pull it off as something nice. You see, and we do that in prayer. The older you are, okay, the older you are, you start to understand more of who you are and what you are, and you actually start to admit it. Now, younger people won't, but once you get older, you start to actually admit it, and when it really gets good is when you start to actually admit it with God. But, sometimes I'm on the learning curve here, but I've learned with Maureen, my wife, that we can get more accomplished in our fellowship. We can get more accomplished in the things that we do for God. It just works out better if when we discuss things, we are sincere. There's no hidden agendas. We can just say, "Look, you know, I can't help it, but this is how I feel." And have you ever had a conversation like that with your wife? One person? No, two? No, it's not something that's done enough. Everybody always brings, and that's just human nature, you bring to the table what you want the other side to hear or know, instead of coming sincerely, in truth and in honesty. No disguise, no hypocrisy, no pretense. Just come in like who you are. You know, God took every one of y'all just the way you were into His family. Just like you were. You know, that Bible doesn't say you got to clean up anything. God took you just like you are. And you know what? When you come to Him in prayer, you need to come to Him sincerely. Just like you are. Just like you are. David asked in that psalm to really, "God, search my heart and know me." There's no better way than this sincerity thing. Let's look at another part of it. Mark chapter 12. The more I got to looking at this today, the more I hope it helps you. I worked on this lesson and God worked on me. And then when I got through, I don't even know whether, I'm supposed to be doing it. I don't know whether it'll make any sense I'm just praying that, I know His word doesn't return void, and I know if we can get just a little bit more sincerity into our prayer life, that God will appreciate that, and it'll be more effectual. Mark chapter 12, let's look in verse 38. The Lord is speaking here. And He said unto them, in verse 38, "And He said unto them in His doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at the feast, And this is what they do, which devour widows' houses, and for pretense, that means to deceive, they make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. You know, you had the Pharisees here that made themselves look really righteous on the outside, and they would go into these lengthy, long prayers to impress other people. I doubt if they impressed the Lord one bit. You know, the length of your prayers, I've been to some meetings where, you know, they ask somebody to pray, and boy, you just go ahead and I hope you got a comfortable seat, because they are going to call down fire from heaven and you are going to be there a while. And some of this is good, and some of this is for pretense. It's because everybody, you know, some of it makes a guy years later stand in the pulpit and say, man, I saw this guy pray like that. That's the effect of it. But what you want is effectual prayer with God. And the length of a prayer has nothing to do with it. Let me show a perfect example. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, you know the story. This is when Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. And then look in verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, here's his prayer, saying, Lord, save me. Now, I know there wasn't much link to that prayer, but do you think he was a little bit sincere about what he was saying? And the answer to that prayer was immediate. And so, you know, it's not the length of your prayer. I believe it has a lot more to do with the sincerity of your prayer. You know, I have the privilege, the absolute privilege of on Sunday morning sitting in the back, and when pastor or someone else preaches up here, and then there's a call for anyone that wants to get saved or wants to be explained the gospel or just inquisitive or whatever. And they raise their hand and they get enough gumption or nerve to let me see them or go back to my office. It's truly a pleasure to show them what God says about salvation, and then for them to tell me what they are thinking or what's in their heart, or maybe even for them to pray the prayer of salvation. And, you know, it doesn't take much more than what Peter said to get saved. It takes that sincerity in that, Lord, save me. And we've had a few people that pretty much that's all they've said, but it came from the heart and it was sincere, and they're as saved as I am. And so it's a blessed thing to see that it doesn't take big lengthy prayers. What God, I believe, he's looking at the heart and he's looking for someone that's sincere about what they say. I've got an example of this, and I was married in my first marriage. I was married to my wife for almost 23 years, and she got cancer, and we went through all of the MD Anderson stuff for 3 years. She was determined she was going to beat it. And so my job was not to question anything. My job was just to let's go beat it. And we tried, and we didn't. I can remember the night she died. And, I was saved. I was a baby Christian. I was a 40-something-year-old baby Christian. I got saved when I was a young man and never went back to church. But I always knew and prayed and talked to God and all those things. And that night, I can remember, after all the stuff is done now my wife is dead. You know how that is, Jerry? Yeah. I laid down in bed, and all I could pray was, Lord, please make it all right. Very, very simple prayer. Lord, please make it all right. Because I didn't, you know, there's not a book on what do you do after this. It's all new territory. Let me show you something. I hope it'll encourage you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Because this is what God did for me. Just a simple, sincere prayer to God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I can tell you today, standing right here, that simple, sincere prayer to God, God has done exceedingly, abundantly above all that I ask. It's been a lot more better than okay. Okay? And so if I can encourage you just to be sincere as possible, when you talk to the Lord, He likes that stuff. He acts on that stuff. That's what it's about, is this sincere relationship. Turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Sincerity, free from hypocrisy and disguise or false pretense. Psalm 17, verse 1. Another prayer of David. David says, "Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips." Feigned lips are fake, meant to deceive. Okay, if something is unfeigned, it's not that way. And so this praying and being sincere means nothing's fake. There's no hypocrisy. Turn to James chapter 4. I want to show you, I mentioned it earlier, but I want to show you the scripture. James chapter 4, we'll just start in verse 1. "From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Look in verse 3. "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." That is asking with feigned lips, is when you ask amiss. You've got something else in mind. I've had this happen lots of times and seen it lots of times, where people will come to me and they'll say, you know, "Brother, will you pray that XYZ for me?" And give some facts and stuff. And I say, sure. And then I find that what they've done is they've went around and they're trying to gather a posse. Okay? And get everybody they can to pray for XYZ. And what it really boils down to is, in a lot of cases, is they've already decided how they want something to turn out. And so they figure if they get enough people individually praying for this, that God's going to do it that way. Okay? And you're looking at me like this, "I've never heard of this." Yeah, it is. And what that is it's folks that are asking amiss. That they're trying to control the outcome. If they can get enough people praying it their way, they think that God's going to fall right in and just be fooled and be tricked right into doing what they wanted. And I can assure you, it doesn't work like that. That's a little bit wrong. You know, I've had in probably may reveal too much here. In our young adults and college career class, folks ask us all the time to pray for things, and Maureen and I love to do that because that's part of the ministry, and we sincerely bring prayer requests to the Lord on behalf of them. Now, lots of times they will give us a prayer request that is like, nobody in here, of course, nobody in here. Lord, help me stay. I pray that the Lord will help me stay in His will. Okay? Sounds pretty good. Except I know clearly that they're nowhere near in God's will. And I'm supposed to be praying to God that they will stay there, and we kind of have to intercede and pray that they will get there. And then God will help them stay there. You know what I mean? That's a sign of something. I don't know. You know, there's a verse, turn to Romans chapter 8. There's a verse that ought to just scare you to death. This verse ought to scare you into being sincere when you pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise the Spirit, that capital S, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He, that's God, that searcheth the hearts, you know, we talked about that, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He, the Holy Spirit there, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It ought to scare you to death, because you can ask somebody to start praying for X, Y, Z, and they can pray for X, Y, Z, but you got this no fool clause in here where the Holy Spirit takes that prayer and makes it fit the will of God. Okay? So there's no trickery, there's no, this thing comes up right. What's scary sometimes is you may be praying, for one of your kids that's wayward, you may be praying that they will come to themselves and come back home soon. What a great prayer. Well, the Holy Spirit may take that because He knows what's going on. And He may intercede and say, you know what, Lord? I think little Johnny needs broke if his legs broke. Because when he's laying flat of his back, you may get his attention. How about that? You know, I don't know. We'll find out later how the Holy Spirit intercedes. But I know one thing. The Holy Spirit intercedes with truth. And the Holy Spirit intercedes with the will of God, and He gets that prayer to God. So the more sincerely we can come to God with our prayers and our request, really you're taking a load off the Holy Spirit's job, because He doesn't have to intercede and start changing this thing around and making it fit the will of God. If you come to God sincerely with a prayer request, I believe it makes it more effectual. Let's look at another one here. Are y'all having fun with this? Go to Luke 18. That's a good passage. Luke 18, verse 9. Let me get there. Luke 18. Well, in verse 10, you've got these two men that go up to the temple to pray. One's a Pharisee and the other one's a publican. You've read your Bible. You know the story. Look in verse 9. This is who he's telling this story to. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Okay, so Jesus is telling this parable to a bunch of folks that thought they were righteous and they didn't like other people. They thought they were good. You know, we have all this self-righteous stuff going on. So this is what he says here. In verse, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. So that was the Pharisee's prayer. Verse 13, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, you know the story. The verse 14 says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. One of these was praying a sincere prayer, and it's easy to find out which one. It was the publican. He went with humility. He didn't even look up to heaven, and he went to God just like he was. He said, you know, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He went there. The other guy was a Pharisee, and I love the part where it says he stood and prayed thus with himself. Okay? And sometimes when we're not sincere and we go to God with a self-righteous, I need this and this and this kind of attitude, that's exactly what you're doing. You're praying with yourself, because it's not effectual. It's not effectual. You're in Luke 18, let's see, where we want to go. Let's look at one more about being sincere. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. I believe that if we want to have effectual prayer, we want our prayers to really have an effect with God, one thing that we can work on is our sincerity. How sincerely we call upon the Lord, how sincere we are about what we're praying about. I have had prayer request that I wasn't that sincere about them. I was more, there are prayer requests. I think I ought to pray for them, and I'm praying for them, and so there. I can check that off my list. You know, I truly believe that God is just as concerned about my prayer request as I am. Ooh, that's scary. Because a lot of times, and nobody shake their head and agree with me. A lot of times on Wednesday night, you get prayer requests on that little card you're writing down, and you go, there ain't no way I'm praying for that. Okay, nobody shake your head. Every once in a while, there's some stinkers on there. Okay? And we don't get sincere about them. They were put on there because somebody else was sincere and needed the help. But we don't take it sincerely, and we don't take it that way. Y'all look at me like I'm the only one that does that. Okay. Don't be sincere. Okay? Look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We've heard this verse over and over. As newborn babes, desire what kind of milk? The sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. You know, if God has taken it, what's that phrase in computer world? Trash in, trash out. You take a computer and you enter trash into it, what are you going to get out of it? Trash. God has given us the sincere milk of the word. The more of that you get in you, guess what? It should be easier to go out with sincerity. Doesn't that make sense? That's just a easy deal to figure out. So the more that this Bible we can put in us, the more it's going to help our prayer life by being sincere. That was my first point. Second point, shorter, so y'all can ease up. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 has got the gospel and it talks about the resurrection. We get over in verse 50 and we're talking about this rapture thing, and then 52 in a moment, the twinkling of eye at the last trump. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. But look what it says in verse 1558. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Not only do I pray that we can leave here tonight being more sincere, or have sincerity in our prayer life, making it effectual, but we need to be more steadfast. Steadfast. What does that mean? Firmness of mind or purpose or committed. It means you don't give up. You don't faint, as the Bible says. And that, you know, the Lord stuck a big finger in my face, and, you know, since nobody else is admitting any fault tonight, I'm like James chapter 5, I'm admitting my faults among my brethren. But let me show you something here. Every Wednesday night, that's last Wednesday night's prayer list, okay? Every day when I pray, at least once, I go through this prayer list and I pray for them, okay? And this is a first, because by this time on Wednesday night, I've done chunked this sucker. Because I'm fixing to get a new one. Y'all don't do that. Yeah. I get rid of this one and I get a new one and I start praying for it. Well, what about these prayer requests? I'm not very steadfast. You know, if it's that worthy, it's going to get on the new one, right? Not all the time. You know, there may be somebody on here that is fighting cancer and needing to be saved. But if they don't make the prayer with us this week, I'm not very steadfast. It just goes out the window. Maybe a week later they'll get back on. Y'all look at me like you don't do any of this. Shame on you. So I've made a commitment myself. I'm going to try to be more steadfast and more firm and committed to the things that I'm praying on, okay? Whether y'all are or not, I'm going to do it. Turn to a favorite passage, Luke chapter 18. Talking about this fainting not, don't giving up on prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. You're not supposed to give up. And then he tells a little story here, saying there was a city, in a city, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Nice guy. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Okay? We could go into all kinds of examples in marriage of how that thing actually works, especially some of these 33 and some 58s over here. They've got some stories about she will weary me and that kind of stuff. Huh? It could be. But nagging's not in the King James. So continual coming, she wearied me. And there's in Proverbs, there's continual dropping, but that's a whole nother lesson. And the Lord saith, hear what the unjust judge saith. He shall not, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth. Okay, what we got there is it's the famous story of the unjust judge. And I have heard this taught and preached that, you know, here's what you ought to do. You're not supposed to give up on prayer. You're not supposed to give up on praying. So God is like this unjust judge, and as long as you nag him and pester him until he can't stand it anymore, he's going to answer your prayer. Wrong. Wrong. What this is, it's not a story of a comparison. It's a story of a contrast. Okay? What the Lord says, look verse 6, and the Lord saith, hear what the unjust judge saith. What God's trying to say is, you know, if you got an unjust judge here that admits that he doesn't fear God and he doesn't regard man, and some lady can bug him enough that he'll finally just do it to get rid of her. He said, if that guy will listen to a request, look at me. I am faithful. I am true. I am just. You're my child. Do you think that I'm not going to hear your prayer? That's what he's trying to tell you. And it's true. We don't have an unjust judge that we go to. We have got a righteous judge that we go to that hears our prayers. And what we need to do is be steadfast enough to just our faith to, that's why he asks, is there going to be faith when I get here? It takes faith to pray for somebody for 40 years. Don't you think? That's steadfast. You know, Mueller? George Mueller, the guy that went over and he built orphanages for hundreds and hundreds of kids, and he did it through prayer. He never asked anybody for a penny. He just told the Lord, boy, we need food, and you've heard all the illustrations. Here's one here. George Mueller said that in 1844, five individuals were laid on his heart, and he began to pray for them. 18 months passed away before one of them was converted. He prayed on for five more years, and another one was converted. At the end of 12 and a half years, a third was converted. And 40 years later, he was still praying for the other two without missing one single day on any account whatever. But they were not yet converted. He felt encouraged, however, to continue in prayer. He was sure of receiving an answer in relation to the two who were still resisting the Spirit of God. You think it takes some faith to be steadfast enough to not give up on prayer? I have actually had things in my life that I truly wanted God to act on or to do something. And I prayed and prayed, and I couldn't see anything going. And so I decided, in another lesson, but fasting and praying. And so I decided to fast and pray. And after about 3 days, just a peace came on me. It was as if God said, I got it. I got it. I didn't get a yes or a no. I never saw any fruit of whether anything was done, but I got this peace of God that passes all understanding. I got it because I never gave up until God said, I got it. I got it. And to this day, I believe He's got it. And until you can be steadfast enough to stick with your prayers, you know, we've got some wayward kids that we're praying for, and I'm not about to give up on any of them. I'm not about to give up on you. God wants them to get right more than I do. And I truly want to be, here's where some of this ties together. I've got some daughters, two daughters that are not saved, as far as I know. And not in communication with me. I'm sure of that. I pray for them to be saved. And I pray sincerely that they would be saved. Now, the thought has crossed my mind that I would love to one day for them to be saved and us to be reunited and me to be able to say, I prayed for you every day. That's not being sincere. That's something I would like to be able to say. That's something that's not true. You see what I mean? So being sincere and being steadfast is a great combination to get a hold of God. Jordan Mueller had it down. And if we could get a piece of that, oh, what a joy that would be. Last point here on steadfastness. Turn to, you're in Luke. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, look in verse 1. And it came to pass as he was praying, that's Jesus, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Then it goes into what's called the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. But look down in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me and I cannot rise and give. When I read that today, I thought of Tony's deal about, I can't, I'm in bed, I got my coat off or whatever that deal was. That was great. That's what this guy was doing. Man, don't bother me now. I got my coat off. Verse 8. I said unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet, look at this, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Okay? Importunity. I had a misconception of what importunity meant. I thought back in the other passage in Luke where the people were bugging the unjust judge, I thought that was importunity. It mean they wouldn't give up. They just kept doing it, and the result is something's going to get answered. Importunity doesn't mean that. And y'all are probably not shocked. You probably know the difference. I didn't know it. Importunity has to do with an urgent need. We have those all the time here. We have people that call and text and say, so-and-so is on their way to the hospital. Can you pray? That's importunity. And what we need, we've got folks around here that get those phone calls and they text to other friends and people get on and they start praying. And one of the requirements for that would be steadfastness. Have you ever has anybody ever asked you to pray? And you go, yeah. And then the next day you go, oh, thanks for praying. And you go, yeah. You forgot to pray for them. You weren't steadfast. I just for my own good, when somebody asks me to pray for them, I immediately pray for them right then. So that at least I can say, yes, I prayed for you. But I'm trying, one of my struggles is this being sincere and being steadfast. Stick with it. I don't want to stop praying until I know they're at the hospital and everything is fine and God has taken care of the deal. And if we don't know that, we call and start trying to find out. And we're not trying to be nosy about what's happening medically. We're trying to find out how steadfast we need to be with the prayer. Do you understand that? And you're going to get prayer requests tonight if I were preaching. You're going to get some prayer requests that some of them need to be, we need to be steadfast about them and not give up. And we need to be sincere about them. And so, if nothing else, God showed me that tonight. And I pray somehow that He's spoken to you in some area, some way, some point that you can be a little more sincere or be some sincere or you can be some steadfast. But somehow we can get there because as a church, if we were all truly sincere when we brought these prayer requests and we were all steadfast, we're going to stick with them and not give up, I think God would really start showing some fruit on some of these prayer requests. I really do. And we've got, we're praying to the guy that can get it done. Ain't that a blessing? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look and in your Bible and see how we could be more, effectual. And Father, I sure pray, I know you've done a deal on me, and I pray that I can get a lot better at this. And I pray as a church that we can get a lot better at this and really, really get a hold of you when we need to and get a hold of you and get some things accomplished. Lord, we got prayer requests coming up for folks in this church and missionaries that truly we'd love to see these things get answered. And I pray that you'd do that in your will in Jesus' name. Amen.